preaching out of 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles 29. Let me remind you, parents, in case I forget, go get your belt tickets. Get them today. Get them today. If we're going go-karting, we've got the 3 days and two nights in the hotel. Or we're going to try and go laser tagging as well. 20 tickets. If you're a young person, sell 20 tickets. They will have everything taken care of. 20 tickets, easy peasy, 3 days. How many of you think a great weekend that you don't have a lot invested in sound like a good thing? How many of you think your young person could use something good like that? How many of you'd like to be away from your young person for 2 days, 3 days, and two nights? How many of you like that? How many of you not going to raise your hand no matter what I say? You're just going to, okay, there we go. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, look at verse number 1. 2 Chronicles 29, stand with me if you would. 2 Chronicles 29. Verse 1. We'll read a few of these. We'll skip around a little bit. Verse 1. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. Hezekiah is one of the younger recorded kings there, and mentioned for us. He's reigning in Judah, and he inherits a mess. Verse 2. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David, his father, had done. He's not David's literal son. There's a few generations between him. But he's here and he's saying to them, this is what's important and this is what's going to be the hallmark of his life. Verse 3, in the first year of his reign, the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in priests and Levites and gathered them together in the east street and said unto them, hear me, you Levites. Levites are the particular group of people that were supposed to maintain and to minister in the house of the Lord. They had a specific job, a specific calling they have, and it is the derivative, it is the progenitor, rather, for what we consider the pastorate now. Sanctify yourselves, clean yourselves, and clean the house of the Lord your God, and carry forth the filthiness out of this holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord, and forsaken him, turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. If you want a verse about America, North America, Mexico, I give you verse number 6. They have sinned, and they have turned away from God, and they've turned away from his house, and they don't care anymore about it. How many of you think that sounds pretty close to 2017? Verse 7, they've shut up the doors of the porch, put out the lamps, not burned incense, offered burnt offerings in the holy place, and the God of Israel. They stopped their giving. That's not what it says. That's exactly what it says. They stopped their giving. They did what they were supposed to be doing, and they just stopped doing all the stuff. Anything that cost them anything, they stopped. Verse 7, verse 8. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as you see with your eyes. Hissing. It's the idea that the foreigners who took over, they just, some of you have traveled abroad, some of you have been in eastern countries and all, you even hear they still do that kind of deal today. They just kind of suss at them, kind of do those kind of things. We don't do that as Americans. We boo. He says, and the people who don't love God are booing at you because you are defeated. Our fathers have fallen by the sword. There was military loss. Our sons and daughters, our wives are in captivity for this. Those that the men were to protect are not protected. They have failed as warriors. They have failed as fathers. They have failed as men. Now is my heart ready, verse 10, to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel that his wrath may turn away from us. Go down to verse 20. And Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went to the house of the Lord. And they brought 7 bullocks, 7 rams, 7 lambs, 7 goats for a sin offering to the Lord and for the sanctuary and for Judah, the people around them. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. We have here a classic illustration of a people who start to do what's right again. Our theme this month is revive, and I want to talk about that this morning. Revival begins with me. Revival begins with me. Would you pray with me right now? Our heads are bowed. If you're dinking around on your phone, if you're listening to music, playing a game, this is your only warning today. What I have to say is very serious. You can play around if you want to. I will call you out. Pray with me. Father, I love you and I need you this morning. My mind's a million places. Help me focus on right now. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. I pray for those who watch this now, watch it later, that what I say will be taken well, and I pray that you'd help us. Lord, I ask you to use me and speak through me. I pray, Father, that you would be with us right in these moments. Holy Spirit of God, use me and fill me, I pray. I ask all this in Jesus' precious name, and amen. I mean, you can be seated. You can be seated. Got me water? Got me water. You're just awesome. You're just awesome. I'm going to name my next child Brooklyn. And that's a no. I got bad news for you, Riley. You got a new name. New name. If I say the word revival, it means something to some of you. It doesn't mean something to some of you, to the rest of you. Let me help you with a little illustration here, a little illustration. In the word here, if I say revival, for most of you, you mean it in a medical context. Somebody was about dead or almost dead, they revived him. Nod your head if that word means anything to you. It means if you say there's a revival of certain things, there's a bad revival going on right now in the States, and it's rolled up pants. People are buying jeans that are too long and rolling them up or having cuffs on them. And I think that's something that should have stayed dead. And if you're wearing those today, I mean nothing to you, but it's a fashion faux pas. It's like me wearing skinny jeans. It just shouldn't happen. Amen. And I tease a little bit about that. We talk about a revival of fashion trends, a revival of fashion trends. And so we have this word, when we talk about revive in the Bible, we're typically not talking about a revival of a fashion trend. We're typically not talking about some of the other kind of things, not even to the point there of a resuscitation or revival there. We're usually talking about a very dire situation where people got aligned again with what the Bible says. And that's the meaning I want to give it today, where people get their life back aligned with what the Bible says. Let me help you. Let me do a little something here. If I say revival to some of you get very nostalgic. You think about a brush arbor or a tent. And by the way, I like a brush arbor. Brush arbor is it's almost like a lean-to constructed out of branches and stuff. People would farm, and then they'd be done late August, September, somewhere in there. It'd cool off a little bit, and they would take, they're already in gear mode, and they would take and build a little temporary structure, and folks would come out. These are before portable buildings and all, and so we have that. You'll read about those kind of things. Some of you from up north, you even pass by an old tabernacle. Some of the things from Billy's son, and they were constructed, they were typically wood. Some of them have survived, some of them didn't. They were never meant to be permanent. And so you have this, if you get nostalgic, you miss kind of the point. Revivals are not about returning to the past. Look at me. Revivals are not about turning to the past. Revivals are about returning to the Bible. Revivals are about turning to the Bible. I'm not interested in going back to the 60s. Some of you, that would be impossible. You weren't around in the 60s. Revival is not going back to the 1800s. Again, I like indoor plumbing. Can I get an amen? I like air conditioning and heat and all that kind of stuff. I like pushing a button rather than chopping down a forest if I want to get warm. Get warm, unless you live with Lester, who has really nice wood stuff. And so that's what he does too. But anyway, and I want to say that. So we do this. Some of you go, oh yeah, good. We're going to talk about the way things used to be and the way things ought to be. We might talk about the way things used to be, but you can't go back. You can't go back. There are hundreds of churches within driving distance of this building, and that is their goal every day, every week. Get back to the past. Get back to the past. Get back to the past. Something's new, something different, it's bad. Well, not everything new and everything different is bad. I like penicillin. Everybody with me? I like penicillin. I like the fact every now and then, not every now and then, but sometimes that I have a portable phone. I like that. I like a remote control on TV. Growing up, my brother and I took turns being a remote control at our house. Dad said, change the channel. We got up and went, poof. It was only four of them. It didn't take a lot of work. If we wanted louder, we went and turned a knob. You know, that was it. I was a remote control. I like having the wand of power. Boom, 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 boom. So when we talk about revival, we're not talking about going to the past. Even though we may have picked up some things we lost morally in the past. Everybody with me there? But we want to go back to the Bible. There is no better case study, rarely a better case study, than what we see in the life of Hezekiah. Hezekiah decided to what? The first thing, he becomes king, and he instructs them what? Let's figure out where we are and what we need to do. And he goes to the house of God and the Word of God. Let me help you very carefully here. You will never, ever get your life aligned back like you should be by neglecting the house of God and neglecting the Word of God. I'll say it again. You will never have your priorities right. You will never be aligned with what God wants if you neglect the house of God and the Word of God. Everybody say amen to that. Amen. You'll never neglect that. You're never, ever going to get straight there if you neglect those two things. And people say, well, I do this, and I do that, and I do the other. It's just not the case. Symbolically, what we do here is maintenance and it's priority. In 3 years, we have tore out stuff and built stuff and replenished stuff and painted stuff and mulched stuff and pulled weeds from stuff and cleaned out stuff and thrown stuff away and added stuff. And it won't be long. We'll be redoing, refurbishing the nursery. How many of you think that's exciting there? We got all that. We got our brushes. Whoops. We got our brushes and stuff. We're ready to go outside, and we've got to figure out a couple ways. We're ready to stain and put the stuff up and get it. We just got to get a little different supply here. It's going to take us from now to 2019 to rip enough pallets and get them on the wall. But we think we can figure out another way, but we want to do that. Why? Because it's symbolically and take care of the house of God, the place where the people of God and all of you are temples come to worship. There's that idea. There's the maintenance idea. We just need to do it because it's just proper to do and take care of a facility. But we do that. It says something about our priorities. Nod your head if you're with me here. You walk in some place, falling down, paint's popping off the wall, and nobody's cleaned the carpet, nobody's vacuuming, anything like that. You say, oh, they don't think much about this place. Here's Hezekiah, and he says, this is what we need to do. He starts off with the people who ought to know better. Look in chapter 29. I want to give you a couple of points, a few ideas this morning, and I want to help you. If we really want to be revived, if we really want to align ourselves with the Bible, what is that going to look like? Let me help you with a few things here. You click on the screen, it'll give it to me there. There we go. It's a great case study. I skipped over these notes. I'll give them to you quickly. The culture was rotten. Judgment was everywhere. And the people of God were negligent. The culture's rotten. It's just bad. See, what do you mean? They're in captivity. They're separated from their families. People are in prison. People are enslaved. And everybody's walking around going, boo! Boo! I read this week and last week. You know what I felt like? I feel like every time I watch MSNBC, I feel like most of the time when I watch CNN, I feel like any time I watch anything on cable, everybody's going, boo, Christians, boo, Christians. And the culture's rotten, absolutely, positively rotten. I was joking with our Sunday school class, how many of you, the quickest way to find something is go buy a replacement? Anybody besides the preacher? I don't know if I told you, 20 minutes almost to the second after I got back from Guitar Center. Nice people. I'm going to use them in a pejorative, but they're nice people. 20 minutes to the second, we found, by we, I mean my wife, we found the things that were missing and that would have enabled us to have sound here. I knew we had them somewhere anyway. And we're there, so we bought them. So now we got to take it back. But I'm in there, and some guy is playing over the loudspeakers, and people are in there, and they're just jamming. I am the only person in there with no rhythm, and they're all in there, and they're having fun, and they're jamming. And some guy's talking about, beat the person, drive them in the ground, stomp on them, something like that. And the guy who's checking me out is singing along. Kill him, mash him. And he's saying, and what do you do at the church? I said, I'm the pastor sometimes. Wonderful. Well, God bless you. Mash him. I'm thinking, there's something very wrong what's going on here. How many of you think that? By the way, if you think I'm exaggerating, I need not exaggerate my story here. The culture is rotten. Let me throw this in, and I want to get to the text. I don't know the culture is as bad everywhere as the news wants us to think some days. But even if it's not, the human heart is wicked and depraved, and every man's in need of a Savior. And without the preaching of the gospel and without the intervention of the Holy Spirit, people just get worse and worse and worse and worse. And we got to quit saying that's a good man and that's a good woman, because they're not good men and they're not good women. They're awful men and they're awful women who need a Savior. And the culture's rotten. Judgment's everywhere. Judgment's everywhere. You think God blew the storm in Houston and blew the storm into Florida and blew the storm that took out all those Caribbean islands? I don't know, but I got news for it. It'd been all right if he did, because we deserve judgment. And he doesn't have to check with me to judge anybody. Anything he does to give me another day of mercy is more than I ever deserve. Ramsey says it so much, everybody laughs about it. They say, how you doing? David says, better than I deserve. Let me help you. Any day, you're above ground, and God has his right to judge you because you've never been forgiven of your sins. It's one day longer than you deserve. Judgment's everywhere. I say, why is America in a mess? We're in a mess because we deserve it. We deserve it. Judgment's everywhere. People of God are negligent. People of God are negligent. I love Jesus. When's the last time you're in his house? I don't know. I love God. Blankety blank. Something wrong there, right? Now the same mouth should not proceed blessing and cursing. James said, can sweet water and bitter come out of the same source? The people of God are negligent. Now, God's working on me and I'm thrilled. God's working on you. And I like what the old black preacher said, if you is what you was, then you ain't. But I'm glad I'm not where I was. And hallelujah, I'm not where I'm going to be. But praise God, I'm further along than where I started. And his grace, the people of God are negligent. I'm not talking about struggling with something. I'm talking about apathetic about open sin in your life, and then you claim that you love God. Let me help you with something there. That's a real problem. That's what's going on here. So he asked the question. I asked the question to you. How can I reset? How can I restart? How can I align myself with God's priorities? How many of you think that's important? Wave at me, nod your head, grunt and something. All right. Can you hear me okay? I got great monitors up here. I don't know if you can hear me or not. Can you hear me? I got half of you asleep. All right, can you hear me? How can I reset, restart God's promise? Don't mess with anything. It's fine. I'm just seeing. No. Number one, I want you to catch it. How can I do this? Number one, he told him to get clean. Look at verse 5. He told him to get clean. He said unto them, hear me, Levites, sanctify yourself clean. That's an old word there. Sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. There are two or three places that people chuckle at whenever they run into the preacher. They don't chuckle at me if they see me in the donut shop. They really expect to see me there. Since Kenneth took me to Double Dogs, I think I have finally arrived. I'm now the pastor of Double Dogs. I don't know if that's a good title or not. All the waitresses and waiters come up to me for spiritual assistance, and it's a beautiful thing. Every now and then I get free fries, and even though I don't eat them, I eat donuts. Don't eat fries. I'm just not going to tempt God. So, I mean, I think eating things soaked in grease, covered in salt. Is just tempting God. How many of you think that? Some of you, I just ruined your lunch. So we told him to get clean. The other place, one place is they're at Walmart or somewhere, and they got stuff in their cart they don't want me to see. You know, I'm not walking around going, oh yeah, number two lead. I see that. I don't care. But if they see me at the gym, it's funny. You're like, and I don't want to be seen either, because I'm hot and sweaty and nasty, and that's why I went to Guitar Center yesterday. I look like a refugee, and I'm there, and people see me, and except for your wife. Your wife, she doesn't care. She's like, you know, good job. Everybody else tries to hide from me, and there's nowhere to hide. All those mirrors there, bless our hearts. So I do what I normally do the other night. I work and do what I need to do here, and I went at night and did my couple miles and 3 miles, whatever. And Brother Tullis gave me an idea. He said, well, I pay for 2 showers at your house when you use their shower and you use their water. And so I bring my stuff and a shower. I don't do it all the time, but I go home clean. It was about 10 o'clock. So I change, and I realize I've done a bad thing. I've gotten my son's shirt. The only shirt I have is nasty. N-A-S-T-I-E-W. It is nasty. It is bad. I got clean clothes, clean body. I can put it on, but I'm way beyond a sausage casing. I can't get it much past here. Some of you are laughing a lot more than you really should be right now. I got one option. I can put back on my old shirt. So I put it on, and it just, oh. So I got great smelling hair and lousy smelling body. And I'm going down the road, and I'm annoyed, and I'm upset, and I'm mad I didn't check the shirt. And I think about it. I go, I'm just going to take the shirt off. And then my mind starts doing this. What if you see somebody at a stoplight and they go, hey, that's because I got the Steeler and the Carolina thing. I stick out in Carnes. I mean, I stick out. I stick out in Hardin Valley. Somebody draws up beside me and I wave in all my no-shirt glory. At 10 o'clock at night on a Friday night. And, you know, and all I can think is, no. And then I thought about, well, maybe I'll, and no. Because all I could see is nobody would know. Nobody would know I took a shower. Nobody would know everything else is clean. Everybody else would know I got a really bad smelling shirt. No, nope, only thing they would know is the pastor of Hardin Valley Church apparently rides around with no clothes. That's it. That'd be the story, right? The Carn shopper. I'd be front page, amen. It'd be a picture with a question mark in it. You know, what is going on? What is going on here? So I kept the shirt on. I thought, but by the way, this happened about 2 miles of time is what I'm doing. I was like, oh, can't do that. Can't do that. So I'm going, and I get home, pull up, and go inside, and Andre's laughing at me. And I'm like, please, please give me something clean. Something clean. I gotta do this. Yesterday, though, we started about 8. Roy, what time? About 7:45. I worked around here after everybody left. I got home about 5:30. By 3 or 4 o'clock, or 2 o'clock, I gotten used to everything. We worked outside. It was hot and sweaty. Roy kept saying, bunch of lazy people. And he was shoveling and painting at the same time. I never seen anybody do that. And he about made Jason cry uncle. And we worked and all, and hot and sweaty. But by afternoon, I'd gotten used to everything. It was only when I went to Guitar Center I figured out how bad it looked. Because everybody kept, if you stick out in Guitar Center, you look bad. And so I'm in there. Guitar Center's going to send me a letter if they watch this. You know what we've done? We gotten real used to being dirty. We gotten real used to doing whatever we want, no matter what the Bible says. We've gotten real used to being dirty. We gotten real used to whatever we watch doesn't matter, and whatever we listen to doesn't matter, and whatever we do with our body doesn't matter, whatever we say with our mouth doesn't matter. Look right here. We gotten real used to it's not God's day, and it's not God's time, and it's not God's money. I'll do whatever I want, and we are just covered in filth, and we don't know it. Hezekiah, the leader, says, you get clean. You want to align yourself with God's priorities and God's word? You want to get back to that? Then you get clean. You get clean. Let me help you. God wants to bless us and to use us, but he's telling us, you better get clean. Number two. He told them to get clean. He told them, number two, he said to restart worship. Told him, restart worship. You still with me? Say amen. Told him, restart worship. Restart worship. Look at verse 20. And Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. Restart worship. Some of you, man, it's all you can do to be here. I'm with you. It's so abrupt for you. Let me encourage you, take a step. Start getting ready for worship on Saturday. Start thinking a little ahead. Not just with your clothes and the meals. That's all great programming. But ask God to prepare your heart. Slamming into service and peeling out of the parking lot after service, that didn't leave a lot of time for contemplation. That didn't leave a lot of time for being quiet. Theologians call it the normative and the regulative principle. Thinking through things, and this is that my heart being prepared is what's necessary for worship. Worship is at least music. It is at least preaching. It is at least coming together. Restart that. I'm preaching to people who are in a worship service now. I'm not scolding anybody here. I'm simply saying to us corporately and to those who watch that we have got to get back to this. Hezekiah said, this is what we need to do. You're in verse 20. Look down a little bit. And they brought 7 bullocks, 7 rams, 7 lambs, 7 he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. And he commanded the priest to offer them on the altar. They're going to kill them. They're going to sprinkle the blood, verse 23. And they brought forth the he-goats for the sin offering before the king and the congregation. And they laid their hands on them. There's a personal thing that's there with their giving, with their offering. They're doing two things. One, they're giving something that costs them monetarily. This is a large deal here. They're doing something that costs them monetarily and it costs them personally. Since they laid their hands, I am identified with this. I am here. I need to be forgiven for my sin. I am responsible for part of this. There's a ping pong match goes on in most congregations. Everybody still with me? Kind of blink at me, whatever. You with me? Ping pong match goes like this. Goes like this. Those people don't care about me. You fill in the blank for whatever reason. They don't care about me. They're only after this or that or the other. They're after my money. They just want me to do something. Whatever. They don't care about me. Those people don't care about me. Whatever. My favorite thing is a lady had heart surgery. She goes home and she's mad at the world and she's furious and all this kind of stuff. And I wasn't a pastor. I was a social pastor. And she just gives it to the pastor, and the pastor finally looks at her and says, nobody knew. You went in, you went out, and nobody knew. It's not that nobody cared about you. You didn't pick up the phone and tell anybody. It's hard to visit someone you don't know is in the hospital. Can I get an amen from anybody in the room? You don't care about me. The other ping pong goes like this. Those people don't care about us. Church doesn't care about me. Those people don't care about us. Instead of seeing people in progress, instead of seeing people that God's working in their heart and life, and they're taking good steps, they might be small steps, taking steps. Last count, 184 people have been through these doors this year. 184. That's no duplicates. That's pruning out, folks. We know we're just vacationers, by the way. Those people, no. Those people need to be led. Those people need Hezekiah's in their life saying, get back to God's house. Get back to the Word of God. It's time to do something that costs you something. It's time to go to the altar worship. It's time to resolve before the Lord. I am guilty and I am sinful. And restart worship. Restart worship. Worship in America has become entertain me. You can quote me. Don't misquote me. I love beautiful music. Love it. I never want to be known. Never want to be known as a music church. I don't want to be known as a Rodney church. Don't misunderstand. I don't know I want to be known just as a preacher church. I want to be known as a Bible church that loves Jesus Christ. And He's the focal point of everything. You can do anything you want. You want audio visual? Man, there's a place around here, spent $500,000 on stuff. God bless them. I want to be a Bible church that honors Jesus. Those are not exclusive, by the way. Those are not exclusive. But I'm not interested in the best show in town. Because the best show in town doesn't happen on the stage. The best show in town happens in your heart. As you hear the Word of God, respond to the Word of God, and then honor the God of the Word by your response. Everybody with me there? That is it. You say, I want to be revived. I like that idea. I believe it's biblical. Get aligned with the Scriptures. He told number three to serve. To serve. Renew their service. Renew their service. I got 5 minutes here. Look at verse 31. Hezekiah answered and said, now you have consecrated yourselves to the Lord. Come near, bring sacrifices, thank offerings in the house of the Lord. The congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings. And as many as of were a free heart, burnt offering. Some of them, they just brought all kind of stuff. They brought a chicken, they brought a turkey, they brought a pie. They brought things that cost them something. They brought cruses of oil. You read through that. There's all kinds of deals. They brought stuff that were very expensive. They got involved. They got involved. Dustin is serving. I just had the base in laws. Anyway, he's in Okinawa. Serving there. He's been South Korea. Destin, before he shipped out, he came to service. I think it was the week before he shipped out, to be honest with you. I'm not preaching. I'm telling the truth. Where's my picture of Dustin in his dress uniform? You didn't hear. It's on my desk at home. It's on my private study desk at home. I have it there. I have two of them. I have one in both offices. They're portable, but anyway, I use them in their book stand. It's right there. I see it. I see it multiple times a week, depending on what I'm doing. I see it multiple times a day. I like the picture for a couple of reasons. I like it. It helps me pray for him. Now that he's married, I pray for his spouse. Help me to remember. He's been in South Korea. I don't want anybody I know in South Korea, to be honest with you. I like it because he's doing what's in verse 31. This would be a lot better if I had my coat on. He spit shined his shoes. He got on his dress uniform. When they decorate him, you can eat off those epaulets, by the way. Hats sharp. Haircut just right. He has, biblical word, sanctified himself for what he's about to do. He's about to serve in the United States Marines. He's about to go overseas to serve. He has done all that, so he looks the part. It's obvious. I have set myself apart to do this. Nod your head if you follow me. He only knows the one way to stand. I chuckle every time I look at the picture and think about it. Chest out, shoulders back, straight up. I like everything about that. Here's what I told him to do. You've gotten used to living in the filth and wallowing in the filth and saying the filth and viewing the filth, and you hadn't figured out it's all wrong. It's so bad, it's in the house of the Lord, and part of what they got to do is carry it out. He said, you need to restart worship. Some of them love their stuff more than they love God. Part of the revival was they start bringing all these things that are costly to them, and they're having a tremendous barbecue with them. That's what the offering was. And he told them to renew their service. And everybody starts coming. And they're clean. And they're going to align themselves with the Word of God. And it's demonstrated in what they did. I love what our founding pastor, Brother Fender, says. He said, everybody in church needs a friend and needs a job. You need something to do. Stay right here. Stay right here. Look at me. You need to serve. I want to encourage you this morning. Some of you, the reason things are all out of whack is because you've just covered in stuff you don't need to, and you've gotten used to it. God says, it's time to clean up. It's time to clean up. Some of you, it's time to restart worship. If it's a verse a day from a Bible, if it's an app giving you a verse a day, if it's an email, start there. Some of you have been saved and baptized, but you're really not getting that habit. Let us, we want to help you. We've got new Christian material. We'd be glad to go through with you. Start that habit. Prepare that heart. And serve. Serve says, his time's more important than my time. My stuff's not as important as his sacrifice. Service says, I will do, I will go, because he is worthy. They did all those things. Verse 34, I'm done. I really am. But the priests were too few. The priests were too few. What? The people got the idea so much that they overwhelmed the people who were set up already. Verse 36, and Hezekiah rejoiced and all the people that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. Say, I need all this time and all this time. No, you can right now get aligned with God and his principles. Be revived. You can right now understand what's going on. You can right now do these things. You can right now get clean. You can right now restart worship. You can right now renew your service. Pray with me right now. Our heads are bowed. Thank you for listening so well today.